Welcome to this month's Life Notes, which move you one book closer to living 12 Category Smart. This is Jessie Colhagen, and you're listening to the Life Note, Grain Brain, the surprising truth about wheat, carbs, and sugar, your brain's silent killers, by David Perlmutter and summarized by Emily Snyder. As always, we will begin with a quote. Maintaining order rather than correcting disorder is the ultimate principle of wisdom. To cure disease after it has appeared is like digging a well when one feels thirsty, or forging weapons after the war has already started. End quote. David Perlmutter puts it best himself when he says, quote, "This book is about those lifestyle changes you can make today to keep your brain healthy, vibrant, and sharp, while dramatically reducing your risk for debilitating brain disease in the future." End quote. In Grain Brain, Perlmutter explores how and why carbohydrate-heavy diets are destroying our brains. We've all heard of the gluten-free fad, but in this book we'll see why it isn't just a fad at all. It's a way of life that all of us can and should be adopting to increase cognitive function and protect our brains from degenerative disease. Big thought number one, gluten. Sticky protein, sticky problems. Quote, "Gluten is what I call a silent germ. It can inflict lasting damage without your knowing it." End quote. As we can tell by the title, this book is about the effects of grains on our brains, and more specifically, the protein called gluten. The word gluten is thrown about pretty casually these days. We all know about the gluten-free fad that's running rampant across restaurants and grocery stores nowadays. But very few of us know the specifics about gluten, why it can be incredibly harmful, and what kind of lasting impact it can have on our health. Fortunately for us, David Perlmutter is here to clear all of that up for us. So let's start with getting a solid understanding of what exactly gluten is and why it's such bad news for our brains. The word gluten is actually Latin for glue. Gluten is a protein composite that acts as an adhesive. Think about the sticky substance you get when mixing water and flour. That, essentially, is gluten. It's what gives soft, chewy, fluffy bread products their texture. Most of us think of wheat when we hear the word gluten, but it's also found in a variety of grains, including rye, barley, spelt, and bulgur. It's one of the most common food additives on the planet, and people can be allergic to it as they can to any protein. But we don't have to be diagnosed with celiac disease to be sensitive to gluten. In fact, about 40% of us can't properly digest gluten, and the remaining 60% could also be in harm's way. We may not realize it, but gluten may be the cause of our headaches, depression, ADHD, decreased libido, unexplainable body tremors, or whatever ailment, big or small, may plague us. As most of us probably know, inflammation is the cornerstone of all degenerative diseases. But what researchers have just recently discovered is that gluten and a high carbohydrate diet are among the most prominent stimulators of inflammatory pathways that reach the brain. How this happens is pretty complex, but let's try to explain it simply. Gluten sensitivity is caused by elevated levels of the antibody against the gliadin component of gluten. When the antibodies combine with the gliadin, specific genes in specific immune cells are activated, releasing an avalanche of inflammatory cytokine chemicals, which can collect and attack the brain. Unsurprisingly, elevated cytokines are found in patients with Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, and even autism. The scariest part of this is that we seldom even know that our brains are being affected. Digestive disorders and food allergies are easy to spot, but our brains are much more elusive. Most often, we don't know there's a problem until it's too late. Bottom line, quote, "Gluten sensitivity, with or without the presence of celiac, increases the production of inflammatory cytokines, and these inflammatory cytokines are pivotal players in neurodegenerative conditions," end quote. Big thought number two, curb the carbs, feast on fats. Quote, "Did you know that your brain is about 60% fat? The fats you eat strongly influence your level of brain function. Some nutritional anthropologists believe the human brain would not have developed as it did without access to high levels of DHA, a type of fat found in fish and wild game. Just two generations of high omega-6 and low omega-3 fats can lead to profound changes in brain size and function." Dr. Joe Mercola. So now we know the basics about what gluten is and how it affects our brains, but that's not all there is to the story. Gluten isn't the only villain. Carbohydrates in general have a significant impact on brain health. For years, dietary fat has been the enemy. We've become a fat-phobic, carb-addicted society. But Perlmutter tells us that just the opposite is what our bodies are actually craving. An extremely low-carb and high-fat diet is our best bet. Over the past few decades, we've been bombarded with a flood of ideas about what we should eat to optimize our metabolism, most of which contradict one another. Take eggs, for example. First, they were good for us. Then they were bad because of their saturated fat content. Then we were told that we can't be sure whether they're good or bad because more evidence is needed to determine the health benefits of eggs. It's so confusing. Luckily, Perlmutter is here to rescue us. He insists that fat and cholesterol are actually essential to preserving the highest functioning of our brains. Quote, "We've developed a taste for fat for good reason. It's our brain's secret love." End quote. Our bodies thrive when given good fats, including cholesterol. Interestingly, our dietary requirement for carbohydrate is virtually zero, while on the other hand, we can't survive for long without fat. The primary lesson Perlmutter wants us to glean from this book is this. Quote, "Respect your genome. Fat, not carbohydrate, is the preferred fuel of human metabolism and has been for all of human evolution." End quote. In the book, Perlmutter runs down a long list of studies and research to back up his claim. One of the most staggering is a report from the Mayo Clinic that was published in the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease in 2012. Their research revealed that older people who filled their plate with carbohydrates have nearly four times the risk of developing mild cognitive impairment, which is generally considered to be a precursor to Alzheimer's. The same study found that those whose diets were high in healthy fats were 42% less likely to experience cognitive impairment. That is some pretty convincing evidence. But he doesn't stop there. Perlmutter also gives us a thorough explanation of the role of cholesterol in our brains. Despite the fact that for years we've been told how important it is that we lower our cholesterol, the truth of the matter is that cholesterol isn't as terrible as we've all been led to believe. In fact, cholesterol is essential to brain health. It's a component of our cell membranes that keeps them permeable while maintaining cellular waterproofing so that different chemical reactions can take place in and outside the cell. The ability to grow new synapses, the part of our neurons that allows them to send and receive signals in our brains, actually depends on the availability of cholesterol. Quote, "A neuron that can't transmit messages is useless, and it only makes sense to cast it aside as junk, the debris of which is the hallmark of brain disease." End quote. Simply put, cholesterol is a key facilitator for our brains to communicate and function properly. Moreover, it also acts as a powerful antioxidant, protecting our brains from the damaging effects of free radicals. But what about cholesterol and coronary heart disease? Research shows that high cholesterol, at most, is a very minor contributing factor to heart disease. Over half of all patients hospitalized with a heart attack have normal cholesterol. Turns out the neurological costs of low cholesterol far outweigh the minor coronary risk associated with high cholesterol. The next big thought is degeneration, our brain on sugar. Quote, "The glycation of proteins is bad news for the brain." End quote. So now that we know how dangerous carbs can be for our brains, let's take a minute to focus on the most dangerous of all, sugar. We won't belabor this point because we all know sugar is bad for our waistlines, but it's important that we see precisely why and how it negatively affects our brains. To make a rather long, complicated story short, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, Lou Gehrig's, and even mad cow disease are all caused by deviant proteins that spread aggressively from cell to cell, wreaking all kinds of havoc. These abnormal proteins have the unique ability to turn normal, healthy cells into misfits that lead to brain damage and dementia. But what causes these proteins to become deformed? To find the answer, we have to look at a process called glycation. This is a biochemical term for the bonding of sugar molecules to proteins, fats, and amino acids, a process that forms advanced glycation end products, AGEs. These cause protein fibers to become misshapen and inflexible. To see the physical effects of these compounds, just take a look at someone who is aging prematurely. Their skin is dull, saggy, and wrinkled. This is the physical manifestation of proteins hooking up with renegade sugars. Clearly, the goal is to limit or slow down the process, but this goal can't be achieved when we consume a high-carb diet, which speeds up glycation. Quote, Sugars in particular are rapid stimulators of glycation, as they easily attach themselves to proteins in the body. End quote. Glycated proteins cause two important things to happen. First, their function is inhibited. Second, once the proteins bond with sugar, they tend to attach to other proteins with similar damage, forming bonds that further inhibit their ability to function. They also become the source of a dramatic spike in free radicals, leading to tissue destruction, damaging fat, other proteins, and even our DNA. Furthermore, oxidative stress has been directly linked to brain degeneration. Quote, "The bottom line is that if you want to reduce oxidative stress and the action of free radicals harming your brain, you have to reduce the glycation of proteins, which is to say, you have to diminish the availability of sugar, pure and simple." End quote. The next big thought is changing our programming, the gift of neurogenesis. Quote, "The brain is supposed to work well until our last breath." End quote. It's clear that there are so many factors working against our brains, but what exactly can we do about it? Our brains are designed to work until we die, but most of us assume that cognitive decline goes hand in hand with aging. Quote, "The truth is that we're living a life that's not suited to what we're genetically supposed to do." End quote. The degenerative diseases we see today are largely the product of our lifestyle choices not being in line with our genetic predisposition. Luckily, we can realign these two things and get our DNA back to its original programming. One of the hottest areas of research right now is epigenetics, the study of particular sections of DNA or marks that tell our genes when and how strongly to express themselves. Interestingly, researchers have found that our daily lifestyle choices have a profound effect on these epigenetic marks. Quote, "We now know that the food choices we make, the stress we experience or avoid, the exercise we get or avoid, the quality of our sleep, and even the relationships we choose actually choreograph to a significant degree which of our genes are active and which remain suppressed." End quote. In fact, we can affect the expression of over 70% of the genes that have a direct influence on our health and longevity. We can learn how to literally turn on our healthy genes and switch off the ones that trigger detrimental processes, such as inflammation and free radical production. As most of us could probably guess by now, these unhealthy genes are strongly influenced by our dietary choices. As it turns out, we aren't born with a set number of neurons to last a lifetime. We can continue to grow new ones throughout our lives. We can also fortify existing neural pathways, as well as forge completely new and elaborate connections. This is neurogenesis, and it can occur throughout our entire lives. Neurogenesis is a process that's controlled by our DNA, specifically the location that codes for the production of brain-derived neurotrophic factor, BDNF. BDNF plays a key role in producing new neurons and protecting the ones we already have. The good news? We can, for the most part, control the factors that encourage our DNA to produce BDNF. The gene that turns on BDNF is activated by lifestyle habits such as exercise, calorie restriction, ketogenic diets, and the addition of certain nutrients like curcumin and the omega-3 fat, DHA. This is fantastic news. By simply making a few changes to our diet and exercise routines, we can dramatically increase our cognitive power and guard against those awful diseases that were once thought to be unavoidable. The next big thought, new dietary habits, optimizing our brain. Quote, "Having an understanding of our brain's amazing abilities can help inform the ways in which we can optimize our diet for a healthy, functioning brain." End quote. Now that we know the powerful effect that our dietary choices have on our brain's health, let's take a look at a few dietary habits Perlmutter suggests we adopt to avoid grain brain. Number one, fasting. The first habit Perlmutter mentions is intermittent fasting, IF. Our bodies have the ability to break down fat into molecules called ketones to provide vital fuel during times of starvation. These ketones are superior fuel for our brains. Typically, our meals provide our brains with glucose for fuel, but when food is no longer available, typically after about 3 days, our livers begin to use body fat to produce ketones, allowing our brains to continue at a high level despite food shortage. With IF, we abstain from food for 24 to 72 hours at regular intervals throughout the year. This will make our bodies go into starvation mode. It will not only burn harmful body fat, but it will also turn on the genetic machinery for the production of BDNF, enhance detoxification, reduce inflammation, and produce brain-protective antioxidants. Quote, simply put, fasting enhances energy production and paves the way for better brain function and clarity. End quote. Number 2, fats. The next habit Perlmutter discusses is changing our diet so that it's extremely low in carbohydrates and rich in healthy fats and proteins, which is the foundation of the Grain-Brain dietary protocol. We'll look at this more in depth in the final section, but the primary thing to know is that this dietary protocol produces a similar reaction to the one we discussed in the fasting section above. Number 3, supplements. Because Perlmutter wants to switch our focus from treatment to prevention, he recommends a series of supplements to help keep our brains functioning at an optimal level. And the final habit Perlmutter suggests? Exercise. Believe it or not, aerobic exercise turns on the genes that are linked to longevity and targets the genes that code for BDNF. The final big thought is making the change, 4 weeks of action. Quote, change is hard, and changing long-established habits is harder. End quote. This is the part of the book where the rubber meets the road. Many of us may be shaking in our boots at the thought of cutting out carbs. Many are probably thinking, well, then what the heck am I going to eat? Fortunately, Perlmutter lends us a helping hand with making this transition. He gives us a 4-week plan to make a complete turnaround so that we can deal with the underlying causes of any health issues we may already have and start guarding our bodies and brains against any future issues. Each week is devoted to a different primary goal. The first week is devoted to shifting our bodies away from relying on carbs for fuel and adding the brain-boosting supplements we mentioned earlier. The first thing we should do is determine our baseline. We should see a doctor and have a series of tests done, such as fasting blood insulin, vitamin D, gluten sensitivity tests, etc., to see where we are now and how far we have to go. Then we will begin our daily supplementation regimen, which includes all the supplements we mentioned previously, plus probiotics. We can find a list of Perlmutter's favorite brands at drperlmutter.com. Finally, we are to clean out and restock our kitchens. All sources of gluten, processed carbs, sugar and starch, commercial cooking oils, fat-free foods, and non-fermented soy should all be pitched in the trash. They should be replaced with healthy fats, low-sugar fruits, protein, and vegetables. He also suggests an optional fast to start off the week. The second week is devoted to incorporating an exercise regimen. Perlmutter recommends a minimum of 20 minutes of aerobic activity every day. We want to get our heart rate up at least 50% above our resting baseline. The key is to find a routine that we can make into a daily habit. A good way to do this is to schedule it ahead of time. He suggests that we get our calendars out and schedule our workout days and even weeks in advance. But we can't forget to maintain the habits we worked on in week one. In the third week, we're going to focus on sleep. By this point in the protocol, our sleep should already be improved, but to ensure we're doing everything we can to maximize high-quality, restful sleep, Perlmutter gives us a few tips. First, we need to maintain regular sleep habits. We should get up and go to bed at roughly the same time every day, and we should keep our bedtime routines consistent. Next, we need to identify and manage ingredients hostile to sleep. This can include a lot of things, but some of the most common are caffeine, nicotine, alcohol, and prescription medicines. He also instructs us to set up the environment. That is, we should remove any screens and electronics from our bedrooms and try to keep them a quiet and tranquil place. Finally, in the fourth week, we pull it all together. By this point, we should be in the groove of our new eating, exercising, and sleeping habits and feeling much, much better than we did 3 weeks before. In this fourth week, we should be finding the rhythm in our new routine and identifying the areas where we struggle. To help us improve in these problem areas, Perlmutter suggests that we plan each week in advance, prepare shopping lists, create a few non-negotiables, and find motivators to keep us on the path. During this week, we should also work on the goal of being able to eat anywhere, even out at a restaurant. By the end of week four, we should already be seeing some remarkable changes in the way we feel. We'll be better rested, our energy levels will be higher, even our mood will be better. And best of all, we won't be destroying our brains a little bit more every day. We'll be building them up and preparing them for a lifetime of optimal performance. So there we have it, Perlmutter's enlightening look into why wheat, carbs, and sugar are silently sabotaging our bodies and exactly what we can do about it. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to sharing with you again soon. And until next time, here's to moving one book closer to living 12 Category Smart.